House Radio.
Welcome to the Paul Wharton Show on Sirius XM Channel 141, featuring celebrities, fashion, lifestyle, beauty, and hot topics. I'd like to welcome to the show the one, the only, the fabulous Miss Vivica A. Fox.
There's a good old saying, early bird catches the worm, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And that check.
I'm Michael Eric Dyson here.
My sidekick, my homeboy, Mr. Darnell Perkins.
Hi, handsome. How are you, my love?
Hey, it's Vanessa Williams. Tune in to my dear friend show, Paul Wharton, only on Sirius XM Channel 141.
Hi, everybody. It's Jennifer Lewis. Yes, the mother of Black Hollywood. And I want you all to listen to the Paul Wharton Show on Sirius XM Channel 141.
Hello, gorgeous, and welcome back to the Paul Wharton Show on Sirius XM Channel 141. I am Paul Wharton, and we are still coming to you from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C., with my home girl like no other, holding us down. Hey, Alexia.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm so good. I love having a woman producer.
You know, we do it best.
You definitely do it best. And I could not be sitting here feeling confidence, feeling self-assured, feeling joyful without my friend, the host with the most, the amazing Mr. Darnell Perkins, right by my side. Hello, Darnell.
Hi, Paul, darling. How are you, my love?
I'm watching your face, and it's just so, so funny. So our week is off to a fabulous start. We hope yours is, too. Let's get right into the hot topics.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that?
I absolutely love it. Tell
so
me what's going
I'd
on.
I'd love to hear your take on the Oscars. People were saying, Oscars, so white. Even Janelle Monáe, as she was performing, she said, Oscars, so white from the stage. What
she
do you think about that?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I must have taken a little nap when she... I loved her dress, though. Wasn't that beautiful?
It was absolutely beautiful.
That was beautiful. That was Ralph Lauren. You know, I was talking to my auntie this morning. Shout out to Aunt Barbara in California, Barbara Meredith Harris. And we were actually kind of saying, you know, it just seemed so yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Oscars and all of that. You know, I didn't even know that. I thought that, what's his name, the black guy that's the comedian, I thought he was the host, Chris Rock.
No, not Chris Rock, Kevin Hart.
No.
The short guy, right?
The comedian.
Yeah, Kevin Hart.
Was he the, no.
There was no host.
No, there was no host. But what was the black guy that started out that was the first person that started it?
Oh, honey, I don't know. You got to get your facts together. Love to come on here and ask me something.
Let me tell you something. You know, I don't know any celebrities by name. I mean, unless you're like a really...
But old. I thought that Kevin Hart was supposed to host it at one point, and then they pulled him off of it because of remarks he made years ago on his Twitter.
Yeah.
Anti-LGBT stuff.
I know they didn't have a host, but in the beginning, I think they brought out Chris Rock and some other guy. I think that's his name. And
did you watch?
I did some In and Out. I was In and Out.
I can see
but,
that.
But I'm always In and Out because that's not really one of my shows. It's kind right. of... Is it boring a little bit to you?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of over it. For some reason, and I'll tell you, to speak very honestly, I usually do the red carpet review for the Oscars and all the big award shows on Good Morning Washington on ABC7. And I told him the Thursday before, I said, you know what? I just don't want to do it.
Really?
Like, it just didn't have enough diversity to me. I wasn't excited about it. You know, a lot of the directors were all white males. The lead actresses, Cynthia Erivo, she was one that was nominated, but all the lead males were all white. I don't know. I just didn't feel like I wanted to sit up there and talk about what they were wearing on the red carpet. So I didn't do it.
Yeah. Wow. It was interesting. The parts that I did see but it was nothing overly exciting about it. No.
Nothing overly exciting about it.
No.
You know, I didn't really know that Billie Eilish chick. Like, I know her name, but I've never really heard her sing. And she did the In Memoriam.
Who is
Billie Eilish? She's a
singer. Is she the one with the green hair?
With the green hair.
She had on the Chanel outfit.
Oh,
I would wear that Chanel outfit.
I'm
that was
sure
cute.
You would.
Yeah, it was pretty.
But her voice was beautiful.
She did. She really sounded, and you know, it sounded really good. The Harriet woman,
Cynthia Erivo. Yeah,
she looked pretty.
She looked absolutely
magnificent. She looked
pretty.
Yeah, she has a cute
body. It was interesting
body.
How they gave her a standing ovation and no one else. Elton John didn't get one. I know he was pissed. You know, when he did his song that was nominated, he actually ended up winning.
Yeah.
But they didn't give him a standing ovation.
Yeah, I love Elton John. I like who does his units.
I tell you, he's got to be out about it because the movie, like all the little symbols for him in the movie, he's got like a bald head.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love Elton John, though. I mean,
he's
you're
great.
Talking about someone that's been around for a while. He's really, I mean, I like what he's done for our community, too. He does a lot for our community.
Yeah. Speaking of our community, Dwayne Wade's child now identifies as female and changes her name to Zaya. Have you seen this?
Yes.
So Dwayne Wade has been open about the journey of his son, Zion, who the retired NBA star revealed identifies as female and goes by Zaya. He says, "Me and my wife, Gabrielle Union, we are proud. When I say proud, we are proud parents of a child in the LGBTQ+ community. And we're proud allies as well. We take our roles and our responsibilities as parents very seriously. So when our child comes home with a question, when our child comes home with an issue, when our child comes with anything, it's our job as parents to listen to that, to give them the best information that we can, the best feedback that we can. That doesn't change because sexuality is now involved in it." And I love the video that he posted. If you go to Dwayne Wade's Instagram, he posted a video, a selfie video that he took with Zaya driving the golf cart.
I saw that. That was really cute.
That was really strong for a kid.
That was very strong for a kid. But I'm going to tell you something. And a kid can be strong as long as he know he has like a strong backing. So I think that has a lot to do with it. They've always been very accepting of him, which whatever role that he decided to take. And so shout out to Wayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. I mean, they've been right by his side through the journey. I also had that conversation. I talked to my auntie this morning for a couple hours. And she was saying something that I think Wayne Wade, did he reach out to Pose or something to that nature?
Yeah, so let me just say this. So he went on to say, "When Zaya, our 12-year-old, came home, first Zion, I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion, born as a boy, came home and said, 'Hey, so I want to talk to you guys. I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth, and I want to be referenced as she and her. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya.' So internally, it's our job to, one, go out and get information, to reach out to every relationship that we have. My wife reached out to everybody on the cast of Pose. We're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be her best self. Once Zion came home and said, 'Hey, call me Zaya. I'm ready to take this on,' I looked at her and said, 'You are a leader. This is your opportunity to be a voice. Right now, it's through us because she's 12 years old, but eventually it will be through her.'" Shout out to Dwayne Wade for that.
Yeah. What are your thoughts of them reaching out to Pose?
I think it's fantastic. See, I don't watch the show.
Okay.
So I'm not, the perfect person to ask, although I'm a huge fan of Billy Porter.
Okay.
I think he's absolutely phenomenal. I don't know what the people on the show identify as. I'm sure all LGBT.
Yeah.
Q, all of it.
Well, so I do watch the show, and that was a conversation I had earlier.
You think it's too sexual?
Well, no, it's not even that. I'm just thinking that the lifestyles are totally different.
Okay.
Almost like going back to Magic Johnson and EJ. You're dealing with a kid who have very famous, very rich parents who are in a totally different area when it comes down to acceptance. On Pose, you're dealing with kids who basically who've come from families who really disown them, who don't want anything to do with them, kids who actually, begin to do a lot of whatever they had to do to survive on the streets. So it's a different type of situation.
But I think it's important for Zaya to know those stories, even though Dwayne and Gabrielle are introducing Zaya to the actors and the other famous people. So there's that. But I think it's important for her to know those struggles that have to do with, you know, the pitfalls that could happen in some of the areas and some of the people that don't mean you well. HIV prevention, all of that. All of those things that I've seen covered on Pose. I don't watch religiously, but I've seen an episode here or there.
Okay.
So I think that that's important because, you know, a child raised by a celebrities on that level, they can become extremely sheltered. They don't really know. You know, you're, you know, a lot of people came out against Caitlyn Jenner because they feel like you're over there in your house in Malibu and you didn't switch things up. But yet you're still conservative. You still don't believe in gay marriage. You're a Republican, a Trump supporting Republican.
This is a that's a whole nother.
Well, you know, it's just clueless. It's just, you know, and it took her some time to actually get involved with the community and hear the stories of people that have really struggled to come out and put themselves directly in harm's way, living their truth.
I agree. I do understand what you're saying, and I do agree with some of what you're saying. What I'm saying is, it's easier to be yourself when one you have a family who's supportive, like we both had supportive dads. Mm-hmm. We both had like aunties and uncles who have always allowed us to be ourselves. And so that's the reason why we're very comfortable with being who we are, and we travel with all types of people and never really had that kind of problem that a lot of people in our community have had.
Yes.
And so what I'm saying is, you know, referring back to like someone like EJ and now Zaya, you know, these are going to be little gay kids who pretty much who travel in private jets, who deal with a whole other group of people that I don't know if the acceptance would be different. Only that the acceptance would be based upon classism and economics. And like in money.
Well, I think it's great because I think that the little rich white kids do this with ease
all the time.
You know, and their parents, you tuck them away and they put them in boarding school and all of that. I think that it speaks to Dwayne Wade and also Magic Johnson that they are so supportive of their children. And they're from such historically masculine area. The NBA, you can't get more masculine than the NBA, the NFL, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. To every parent out there who, because people have asked me before to mentor their gay child, or can you talk to them, or Darnell, how are you so comfortable around so many different type of people and whatever? The only answer to that question, really, I believe, is to just to shower. Everyone is just wants love. So if you just shower your young kid with love, let them go through the process. Let them go through what they are going through and just be with them. And I guarantee you that everything will really turn out and work out all right. You have to, in order to actually love yourself, in order to love others, you have to love yourself. But as a parent, it's your responsibility really to love your child.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the utmost importance. So like you said, shout out to Zaya's mom and dad, and to all of the LGBTQ community kids who are parents that are dealing with, you know, what do you do? How do you deal with a gay child or whatever? Just love them and let them just be themselves.
Yeah. I agree.
The way I said that?
I do. Wow.
Just let them be themselves.
You know, I tell you, Oprah Magazine, they did a post one day ago, yesterday, with Oprah and Gail doing their OG Chronicles. So Oprah and Gail basically answer questions about different things. Okay, we'll talk about that soon. As he's looking at me like, oh, no, she didn't.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so in this special Valentine's Day edition of the OG Chronicles, Oprah and Gail weighed in on how to write a thoughtful Hallmark card and so on and so forth. So a lady on Instagram commented, rich people, afraid to admit what's wrong with two women or two men getting married for backlash or retaliation or loss of ratings or losing followers, etc. It's the way things are now. So sad. So then I, at that person, and say, because nothing's wrong with it. If you don't believe in gay marriage, don't marry a gay person, period. Like, that's it. So it's so interesting to me that people are still, and of course, I just think, you know, I'm not necessarily going to see this on Oprah's Instagram, but people are still coming forward with that kind of hate toward LGBT people.
Yeah, people just hating, period. It's a very hateful world that we're living in. I mean, I'm telling you, the people, you know my favorite saying, people are terrible, people are something else. That's why it's even more important for you to live your own truth. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are going to love it and some people are not. And let me tell you something else, Paul Wharton.
Yes.
Stop trying to, everyone is not going to like you. Everyone is not going to like, people don't like people who are dark, people don't like people who are light, people don't like people who live in certain areas, people don't like people of certain professions, people don't like people because you didn't go to a certain school. I mean, the bottom line is love yourself, like yourself, and then if you get a few people that like you, fine, and you know, and we all are not going to like everybody.
You're right.
So it's very, very important to understand that this is the world that we are living in, and if you're the type of person that's always looking for acceptance, then you've lost the battle right from the beginning. Like, stop looking for acceptance. Just accept yourself. So I really applaud this young man at 12 mm-hmm. years old. Basically, he's like, look, and I saw the clip when he was in the go-kart. It takes me a minute to get to. I have a cousin that actually transitioned that was once a boy and transitioned to a girl. Shout out to my cousin Chris.
Nice. But
I know it's a journey, and
absolutely.
I applaud that journey. And at 12 years old, I mean, that's really, really, really a big step.
And we need grace too, as you said, in that transition.
Yes.
So if you know someone or you're unsure, you know, I just ask the transgender community, you know, you have to also give other people the grace of understanding the transition.
Absolutely. And give me a little grace, because sometimes I want to be a boy, and there's sometimes I want to be, I have wigs at home. I play with my little wigs and stuff, and sometimes I walk around in my pumps at home. I really do.
You get up in a pump?
I like that little muscle it puts in the back of your leg.
I can't imagine you up in a pump.
Yeah.
That seems like too much work.
No, I have some. You got, next time you come up, I'm going to show you my pump wardrobe.
Oh my God, okay. Let's pump around.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm going to talk to you about Gayle King. I mean, this has been going on for far longer than I thought. As you all know, Gayle King did an interview with former WNBA star Lisa Leslie, and the world has gone crazy over it because she asked about the sexual assault case from years ago, years and years and years ago, the early 2000s, with Kobe Bryant, and Lisa Leslie answered it very thoughtfully, with a lot of care. And it really started when Snoop came out, and people were already upset, but Snoop came out so hardcore and called her a, you know what, don't even say it.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, what's your take on that? And then I'm going to share a personal Gayle experience.
I have a couple takes on it.
Tell me.
So, one, you know, I was a little, we talked about this, I was a little like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. That was just so important. That was not in good taste. I was a little shocked that she would say that. But then she apologized for it. And she basically was saying, you know, you need to see the whole thing and hold the tape and whatever. So I understood both sides. I was upset with her. But then when she basically came out and basically was like, you know what? She gave her apology. It was just like that. It did not come out the way she wanted it to come out, even though she did say it and said that, you know, the whole interview, we should have, you know, listened. CBS should have played the whole interview or whatever.
There was a small part of the interview that I particularly didn't like when she said that the case was dismissed because the victim wouldn't testify. And I thought she should have said the accuser.
Yeah,
and I think to me that was a little nuanced, but I think it really said a lot from where she was coming from with that.
Yeah, and no one said that the woman, they found three sets of, you know, men's, you know, semen in her. So she's been screwing a lot that whole weekend. I mean, people they never get to the you know. But listen to this.
Yeah,
I believe that we are living in a we are living in a society and living in a world now that people are so quick to like throw you away, yeah, like for a mistake.
Cancel culture.
Like we just we're just so quick. People are losing a lot over like a mistake, and we are losing the whole thing of forgiveness, mm-hmm, and people, you know, doing things that, you know, no one is perfect. So I'm looking at it that way. I really understood what Snoop said because he's from L.A. You know, Kobe was a true L.A. person, like never went, mm-hmm, to any other team. I mean, people really, and I have all respect for Kobe, so I get it. But I really understand people that are in L.A. That was like, you know, this is our boy. You know what I mean? So it's almost like if someone were to say something really or to bring that up about you, mm-hmm, I would probably get on the radio and say something real hard, like you black, yes, this and you da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would probably do the same thing because of the relationship that you and I have.
I get that.
And from the interview from the woman, Lisa, that she interviewed, from my understanding, they were very, very, very close. So what?
You're very close.
So it was almost offensive for you to even ask her something like that.
Well, let me share this. This is what I think. I feel that people are feeling so disenfranchised right now. We're feeling so powerless under the leadership of our government.
Yes.
This is what I think. Because we see what's going on, and yet no one will stop it because the GOP is in charge. We've got a man in the White House that's going absolutely crazy, and we're just all out here. So when it comes to in this case, a black person objectifying another black person or seemingly objectifying or using them for a come up and trying to put them down, because we feel so under fire right now, like we are powerless,
yeah,
out here in this world. It's like, no, 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 no. even if you had a right to ask, even if that's a part of his history, we got to stick together.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the hyper response comes from.
Yeah, people are giving enough already.
Like, enough
come
already.
Enough already. And I get it. I mean, I get it on both sides. I really, 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 really do. And I actually heard Snoop on the Ricky Smiley show the other
night.
Yeah,
I did too.
And I thought that was really, 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 really a good show.
Well, I'll tell you one thing listen, this is the thing. He says, I didn't threaten her. Well, Snoop, and see, this is the other thing. Since our president does all these things, and then he just says, no, I just didn't do it.
It's called the alternative fact.
I didn't do it. It's the alternative fact. And the bottom line is, when you say to a woman, before we come looking for you,
that is,
it's not just about what you're saying to that woman, but Snoop has, I don't know, 40 million Instagram followers.
Yeah.
It's about what that message, how that message resonates in different people's minds and then what that ends up being. Because not everybody is sound of a sound judgment.
No.
And can understand that. Oh, we going looking for Gail. All right.
Let's go.
You
know, Snoop said, you know, but again, but you also have to, consider the source. I mean, people are really, they put a lot of, you know, I love Snoop. Snoop is always, I've always loved Snoop. But, you know, that language kind of comes with like Compton and, mm-hmm, and people that are some rappers, you know, that's just really, in my own opinion, I wouldn't say anything like that, but I kind of see how they talk.
Yeah.
And so you always consider the source, if that makes any sense. That's really how he expresses it. And you could tell it was early in the morning. I saw the clip. It's like he probably just woke up.
Yeah.
You know, he probably hit his little joint, you know, then he would probably say, what the, mm-hmm, you understand? And then went right on to actually to talking. That's why when we had that conversation a few weeks ago, like, you know, when you don't talk out of emotion, like, let it kind of sink in a little bit. Think about what you're going to say.
Take a moment.
Yeah, take a moment. Yeah, take a moment.
So what should she have done differently to you? Just simply not have raised the question?
Not raised the question. Mm-hmm. When is the last time you heard that question raised?
Well, I feel that, I don't know. I feel like she says, oh, in CBS, I think that's a major problem, what she's saying. She's pointing at CBS. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is like, don't blame CBS. It's what you said. And she's saying CBS posted up that clip of the show with that headline to be salacious. And for me, I think that after years of being in Oprah's shadow, she had her big coming out with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, that was iconic in pop culture. And Gayle King became cool. And Gayle King was trending. And since then, I don't know if you follow her, but she's doing everyone's interviews. I mean, she's out there. She's on the circuit. She's like the person you want to interview with, kind of like how people thought about Robin Roberts.
Okay.
Now, Gayle King wasn't really in that, on that level.
Okay.
Now she, or she was up until a couple weeks ago. So I do feel like there was a part of her that was chasing
that,
some salacious bit to make it scandalous, but she really didn't know it obviously was going to come back to bite her in the bum.
How can you not know that?
I don't think that she knew that.
Yeah, I
don't think
not,
that she thought people would turn on her like that.
Oh, please. You know, black people, they, what, one thing about black people and their boys, I mean, I know black men get a lot of slack and a lot of people, but when I tell you, when it comes down to like women and their black men and their sons and their husbands and children or whatever, it's like, oh, no, you should know better than that, don't say that. But people will pick out the one thing that you did bad and wrong and all the other million things that basically that he has done. I mean, I'm talking about, they say this guy has really done a lot for, you know, for different communities and just for his daughter's basketball. Like, he really, really was into, like, the Women's Basketball League, beginning to make his daughter a professional. Like, she really, really was about her game.
Right, but the issue is, droves of black people are mad at Gayle for tarnishing Kobe's legacy. Meanwhile, they're going after Oprah, talking about, you know, Oprah is this, Oprah is that. She's trying to, you know, hurt black men, mute Oprah, and all this type of thing. What about her legacy of helping, I don't know how many thousands of men
God.
She's put through Morehouse College.
Thousands and thousands.
And the women
and
in Africa
thousands.
And her schools,
I mean,
and all
thousands.
The millions and millions of dollars she has contributed
Absolutely.
To the community.
But that's my point. Like, that's my point when I said earlier, you have to be forgiving. She made a mistake. She
but Oprah did. But how
no,
is
no,
Oprah
not,
in this?
No, that's her best friend.
But they done pulled her in.
They done pulled her in. I mean, it's almost like if someone say something about, you know, I never told you this, but if somebody said, oh, I can't stand your friend Paul. I mean, as soon as he walks in, he's swinging his hair and da 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 da. And then you're walking around with all this foundation on and you got on all this fur and da da da. I mean, you two get on my nerves. So they always combine the two. That's what
Sounds
people do.
Sounds to me like they didn't like you first, and then
No. Oh, they couldn't stand you, sweet pea. They could, yeah. But that's what people do.
Yes.
People, you know that saying, what they say, birds of a feather flock together. They always want to put the two.
Yeah.
They always want to put the two together.
I mean, Oprah's out here on her WW tour, trying to help people live their best life in all these here jumpsuits. What happened?
They said we don't like you either.
That's
your best friend, so we don't like you.
So the morning after all this went on, and Gayle came on her Instagram and said, look, I'm seeing all these comments, and people are calling me like, what the hell are you doing? That was Oprah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a lot. But see, do you see how this is playing out? So we started out with this wonderful legend, Kobe mm-hmm. Bryant and his beautiful daughter and all of the beautiful people that were killed in this helicopter crash. And now the focus have totally, no one has had time to grieve, no one is mourning. Now everyone is talking about something else.
Yes.
We're talking about, well, why would she do that and why would she say that? That's what comes with death. When I lost my father, it was so much going on, like with my relatives, and I mean, I want to do this at the funeral. Your father told me he wanted me to do this. It's like people can not focus on really what they should be focusing on, and then it can turn into a whole nother situation.
So they misplaced their grief.
So
they're grieving and they're mourning and they're almost looking around like, wait a minute, whose fault is this, or who can I put some of this on?
Yeah, when it's not the appropriate time.
It's not. It
wasn't the appropriate time for her to say that. So, again, on both sides, I believe I believe Gail should have just, she apologized. And the only thing we can do, she did come out and apologize, is accept her apology because we are human and we make mistakes. On Snoop's side, you know, he woke up, he saw what she, he probably just saw it and woke up, smoked his joint, and like, man, I'm not dealing with this. I mean, we got enough we're dealing with and going through. And it was only, what, 5 days after, 4 days after, after they heard about the health. So it was still all really fresh and new.
Well, let me tell you a little Gail King story. I've been holding on to this. Okay. And I didn't want to share, but you know that picture I have with Oprah and I in my office and in my house? I have it everywhere. So during the 2009 inauguration of Barack Obama, I was at a party down on Pennsylvania Avenue, one of the museums. I'm just trying to remember which one. I can't quite remember it, but it was for the Root.
Okay.
Okay. So I was working with the CW, and I had the big CW bus, and I had a show on the CW at the time. And I took a bunch of friends. Well, anyway, they only gave me like two passes for the VIP. So I left some of my friends downstairs and I took one of my friends, I can't remember who it was, up to the VIP.
Okay.
And there is, and in walks Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey comes in. She's being lovely to everybody and all this is going on. So she comes over and really made it easy for me to say hello to her. Okay. Comes over just smiling, and I'm like, oh, my God, Oprah. So there was some tequila right there. They had, like, Patron tequila. And she says, you want to have a shot? And I was like, oh, well, are you sure? It's not going to be. Do you? You want a shot?
Yes.
I said, yeah. So Oprah and I had, I think we had three. I think we had three shots, at least two.
Okay.
Definitely at least two. Then Oprah took my phone. We were just chatting and talking, and she actually did the selfie, but with my phone.
Love it.
Isn't that awesome?
Love it.
So all that was going on. We're talking. Gail is standing within earshot, acting very like she's not interested, that kind of thing. So I got the vibe that I should roll out off of Gail.
Okay.
Because Gail was like, no eye contact, being weird, like she all that.
She wasn't using
her energy was like, I'm done.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Oprah is completely engaged. We're having a real conversation. We're laughing and doing shots and having a good time. So then I say to Oprah, I said, you know, I'm just, maybe I should go. And she says, why? Uh-huh. And I said, oh, I just don't want to be too much in your way. Boy, you're fine. She just waved it off.
Okay.
And I stood there with them for a while she was taking pictures with other people. And then we would talk some more and we'd had another shot. We had a fantastic moment.
Wow.
So when they left, I said bye to Oprah and did the whole double cheek kiss and all that. And Gail left. So the next day, there was like another big event. You know, it was during the inauguration.
Yeah.
Gail definitely knew who I was from that day before. I mean, I was standing there with them
for
a long time.
Did you speak to her at that first event?
Okay. I spoke to her.
Yeah.
She wasn't, you know, she was, okay. You know, whatever. So she's got a beautiful red dress on the next day. Her kids were lovely.
Okay.
Kirby, her daughter, and her son, Will. They were so charismatic and wonderful.
Yeah.
So the next day I'm at this event, and I'm standing there, and coming right in my direction is Gail King. So I'm talking to some people. So I said, oh, let me just say thank you to Gail. And even though I had a little feeling that she was acting funny.
Yeah.
I go to turn to say, thank you, Gail. When I tell you, she walked directly around me. She like grabbed her dress and said, and walked around and kept strutting off. So much so, her two kids that were walking behind her were like, sorry, we're sorry.
Oh, no.
It was the rudest thing. She didn't know what I was saying.
That is so. Oh my God, that is so disappointing.
So even having had that experience with her,
so when this came up, you began. I already know what she gives.
Okay, I had one moment of ain't karma a funky dog head.
Absolutely.
There was a one small part of me that was like, karma is a funky dog head. Because that was my experience. And I thought, huh. However, I still wouldn't have said that.
No.
I still wouldn't have called her that.
No. Isn't that something? It's really not what a person says. It's how a person makes you feel.
I never will forget it.
Yeah, it's not what a person says. It's how you make a person feel.
Yeah,
and that's very, 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 very true. And it's just not good. It's not good to be mean and to if someone. I've had that experience before. Not with her. I've never met her. I do know her daughter Kirby, mm-hmm. but I've never met Gail, and I never met Oprah.
I'm sure she's lovely. Yeah. Also, let me just. Yeah. This was a long time ago, and also it's a lot being Oprah's friend.
Yeah, it's a lot being your friend.
Right.
Yeah.
But and imagine that times a whole bunch more.
Oh, no, it's a lot being your friend.
When we have those nights where we do the public events and all that, it is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, why do I don't want to go. And you know, oh, no, you have to go. And I was like, no, please, I don't want to go. Don't. And you're like, oh, no, you're going. And I'm like, okay.
No, that's not what you say in that order.
The next
thing you say is, do they have free drinks and food? Good. What kind of champagne are they going to have? Good champagne? What kind of food? Who's doing the food? Then you want to know.
After
I say, yes, the food is free. The drinks are free, as they always are.
Sweetie, I'm not going to any event that I have to pay. Sweetie, I gave already. You know how many events I've given for free, and there's unlimited premium champagne. You're sitting to be eating all types of crab and lamb chine and all that kind of stuff. I'm never paying. So if you want to invite me to something, just send a little ticket, and I don't do the little receptions that's only open bar with wine and beer.
That's it. That's why you always ask.
I don't know. Is it What's a wine and beer? I don't drink wine and I don't drink beer, so why would I go?
Why would you go? Uh-uh. So Bernie Sanders, he won the New Hampshire primary. Have you been following this? So that now made him the front runner in the Democratic Party. Have you been following?
So Bloomberg is he really?
Well, Bloomberg is not really in the mix at the moment because I don't think he's. I think you have to raise a certain amount of money. He doesn't want to raise the money because he doesn't need the money. Something like this. I mean, he came in late to the game. But I want to get your take on Buttigieg, Pete Buttigieg, because you know he won the Ohio. I mean, excuse me, the Iowa primary.
Which one is the billionaire, Buttigieg?
No, Buttigieg is the gay one.
Oh.
He's the mayor of the small town. Okay. The billionaire is Tom Snyder, mm-hmm. and also Mike Bloomberg.
Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Is that the one that Judge Judy endorsed? Did President Obama endorse him?
He used an ad with President Obama speaking about him when he was the mayor of New York and giving him a lot of praise, but it wasn't an official endorsement.
Oh, wow. That was smart because I truly, when I just saw President Obama shaking his little hand, I would say, oh, so President Obama endorsed him.
But people have really come out against Bloomberg because of Stop and Frisk, which is a law that was already enacted before he came into office in New York as the mayor. But he, at the time, he was claiming that he was trying to reduce gun violence, and the gun violence was coming from those neighborhoods, in the inner city neighborhoods, the quote-unquote bad neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
where there were mostly black and brown people. And he enforced this stop and frisk, basically where cops could, if they were suspicious at all, they could tell somebody to get up against the wall and they could frisk them.
Oh, wow.
So that was a big uproar in New York at the time. And now that's kind of coming back to bite him. So all these little sound bites are coming out and news clips and court cases from when he was the mayor. It did reduce the crime, but at a cost.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So is that a bonehead thing? I'm taking this from my friend Whoopi Goldberg. Is that a bonehead thing or is that a racist thing? What is it?
I don't know. It's almost as bad. So you know the new thing here in Washington. These young people are, they're going around, from my understanding, and they're actually just snatching people's cell phones and, I mean, putting guns to people's heads and old people and everything. People can be walking their dog or whatever, and they're just actually snatching. So it's a lot of teenagers. They're actually robbing people, taking their purses and cell phones or whatever, whatever. Well, I talked to a friend of mine who's a public defender, and another friend of mine who works for D.C. Police Department, and they're basically saying that, you know, the punishment is very, they don't want to really put these kids in jail, and they don't really want, the punishment is very, very, very minimal, right?
Mm.
So, you know, I always, you know, they say there's two sides to it's always two sides to a story.
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, you know, until it really hits home, do you really want people walking around? I mean, if there's a lot of guns and there's a lot of killings and there's a lot of shooting, sometimes as a person in power or whatever, you're just like, we have to do whatever we need to do to get these guns off the street.
Yeah.
One. Two, in my opinion, should these little young kids that are 14 and 15 years old, should they be tried as adults when you walk them up to your aunt's, taking your aunt's cell phone, she's maybe in her 70s, and or your grandmother's Damn. Walking down the street and they're just stealing your purse? I mean, what they're basically saying there's no repercussion. There's no, these kids, they're getting a little slap. They're not doing any jail time.
And that's that's where my fear of kids comes in. It's not so much that I'm concerned that they, of course, they could pull a gun or whatever, but I'm not so concerned about that. I'm concerned that once they call me the F word or trip me while I'm walking down the street, what I might do to try to detach their head from their neck, and then I have to go to jail.
Yeah, and it's groups of them. It's not just one of them. It may two, three, four of them. And I would be lying to you out there in radio.
If you
land.
Said that you didn't cross the street.
When I tell you, when I see them look... when I see them look...
No, don't care.
Little badasses walking across the street. When I tell you, I
walk right in the middle of the street. I will walk down the middle of the two-way street.
Oh, I cross the street. I walk. I do, I crutch my little pearls. I'm scared to death. I am scared to death. I don't know if you're going to try to take my little purse. I don't know if you're going to try to take my little phone. And half
this
the time,
because you love a clutch.
Yeah,
those are easily taken.
They would, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be really, 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 really careful. I get it. We don't want to allow people going to jail. I mean, people. I don't think no one should be. I hate it when people of our community, about my race, my color, there people have been charged with all types of crimes and things. But I do believe if you really are doing violent crimes, like robbing people and killing people, I believe that there should be some consequence. You need to, I don't care if you're four, you need to go to jail.
Yeah,
because it's too much when you're walking in your neighborhood.
But I'm just, I know
that
what
was an example.
Yeah,
like with 14, 15, you know what you're doing at 14.
So
to
what's
15.
The juvenile situation? I mean, it's a slap on the wrist, but can't they go to juvenile hall or whatever it's called?
From my understanding, it's very minimal. I mean, people have taken per people, and they say the subway system is just. I mean, people are sitting on the subway. And they're just snatching their little headphones off of their heads
what?
And running off the train. It's horrible. We are living in a world where people have lost their minds. And so that's why it's very, very good for you to get your circle, love your circle, love yourself.
And stick to those places.
And stick to those places. And really, you want to do, give what you can to like the seniors like we do and to the young kids who want help. But we're dealing in it's just a very different time. And then the time that we are dealing in and the people that we are dealing with, just know you're not dealing with like normal headed people. You're dealing with people with a lot of mental problems.
Yes.
And people who are unhappy, people that are mean-spirited. And so just always keep that in mind when you're trying to be accept, when you're looking for acceptance.
Yeah.
Accept yourself, love people who love you, and keep it moving.
How do you feel about, thank you for that. That was fantastic. Bravo.
Thank you. Did I do good?
You did really good.
You like
good.
The way I put that?
Yes.
You did
really good. Then you got to go messing up.
Go ahead.
So for people that ride the metro in the subway, you just talked about the people snatching all that on the subway. I was on the subway in New York City. I was going from Tribeca to Harlem.
Okay.
Going up to meet George Faison. And I had on all my stuff. I was a little bit. But it's New York City.
Yeah.
I was surprised, so I posted it on Instagram. There was a band like playing on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So Vanessa Williams responds to me. She's like, "Why are you on the train?" She was like really confused by it. Like, why? Like, what happened to you?
Why are you on the
train? You got to get on the train? And I thought, wait a minute, are people not taking the train? People take the train.
Yeah, people do take the train.
But now, do you or would you?
I can't remember the last time I was on the train.
Yeah,
I mean, not unless I'm traveling to New York.
Is it a fear? Is there a fear of like what you just described of people being robbed?
No, I just jump in my car. I Uber.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I've actually been on the metro system here. I kind of jump in an Uber or drive.
Yeah, I remember I rediscovered the metro here in DC. I was working up at Fox 5 and I would work on the morning show. I would go on at 10. And one day I just was entirely too late. And I was in my car and I was trying to get up to the station and the traffic on 16th Street was stopped. I got out of the car. I jumped on the metro.
Yeah.
And I got up there and like, I felt like it was 5 minutes. It was like,
it's
I was
very
hitting every
convenient.
Light.
Yeah.
So I would go running into the station. I get there like 2 minutes before I go on. I'm just sweating, going crazy, but I made it.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting there, and during the show, I say, oh, my God, I discovered this thing called the Metro. Like, what? You took yes. the Metro? So then I start taking the Metro every day until about 3 days later, and there was a backup. It was the worst day of my life.
Really?
That Metro took, like, so it's just not consistent.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't, but it's good. Like if you're pretty, if you're the type of person or if you're like on a schedule and you may work downtown and that type of thing. But you know, it's not that I would not take the Metro.
Yeah.
I just have not had the need to really take the Metro.
Yeah. And well, you know, it's
sense.
Good for the environment.
Yes.
So consider it. Consider it. Listen, I thought this was kind of interesting.
I'm sorry.
Consider taking the Metro sometimes and cutting your carbon footprint down, please. Now, moving on, Home Alone star Macaulay Culkin.
I'm sorry, everybody cannot afford an electric car, sweetie. Everybody cannot drive one of those electric Teslas and stuff, darling.
Are we okay?
No, or? I'm fine.
Okay.
But, you know.
What are you offended by?
Sweetie,
encouraging you to ride the Metro?
We're talking about stop the car. What'd you say about the environment and all of that?
Your carbon footprint.
Everybody cannot afford the electric Tesla. I keep telling you, I'm on a fixed.
We know.
Okay.
We know.
I can't afford that. I can't afford no $2,000 a month car. Note. Are you nuts?
Your carbon footprint.
Sweetie.
Although it does have a red bottom on it.
No.
So listen, I want to tell you about this. So Home Alone star Macaulay Culkin says his friendship with Michael Jackson was just that, a friendship. He spent lots of time at the now late singer's estate, Neverland Ranch, and even starred in Michael Jackson's Black or White music video. In the wake of the child sex abuse expose documentary Leaving Neverland, of course, that Oprah produced, the former MJ collaborator told Esquire that he's never suffered abuse at the hands of the music icon. So he just came out in a new interview saying he's going to be 40 years old and where he is at this point in his life. He apparently said he's still got a lot of money from Home Alone.
Wow.
Yeah, he said he's still got money. Isn't that something?
Wow.
I mean, that's really good.
How long has that been out? What, 20 years?
I think long. No, that would have made him 20 when he did it. That's been out 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, when he was a child, he actually sued his parents when he was a child to get them off of his trust fund because I think they were spending his money. And it worked. And he said in the article that he still got lots of money.
Good for him.
Isn't that great? So anyhow, but he also said in the article that, listen, I don't know what the other guys were talking about because for me, that never happened. So I think that also got people, since this article, people are now jazzed up even more on Oprah because they're like, look, he's saying that this never happened to him.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I was disappointing about that. We talked about that.
It seemed very convincing to me at the time, though. I'm sorry. I don't know. Those guys seemed very convincing.
But they're suing the wrong person.
What do you mean?
So your parents.
Ooh.
Your parents took you there. It's something about, you know, they said they were going through a whole bunch of emotional drama and whatever. Your parents took you there. You're suing the wrong person. Sue your parents. And I'm not into people that are going after people that are dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. You got to watch these people. I'm going to tell you something. People out there with money, they got a lot of money. You better be careful. Make sure your snow is shoveled and everything else. People, everyone is looking for money.
Make sure your snow is
make
shoveled.
Make sure you shovel your snow.
They'll slip.
Oh, they'll fall. I mean, let me tell you something. People now, they would just sit, they would stand right in front of your car and just faint and fall out, act like you hit them.
What side of the coin?
No, I'm just telling you.
Were you the man in the car or the man on the street?
I was the man in the car. I know people. I know people. And we're dealing with people who really, everybody, people want to get paid. People want to come, people want to be famous. People want to be wealthy. People want money. People want to look great. People, and no one wants to basically be their authentic self. They don't think that will get where they get what they need to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're dealing with. Be careful, people. when you're dealing with people.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
People, be careful of people.
People, be careful of people.
That's our story. Don't we have a story of unity here?
Yeah, learn to. When we say learn to embrace people, you can feel a good embracement.
Yeah.
You really can. You got to have, in the biblical, the Bible says, have a spirit of discernment. You gotta have that discerning spirit.
Okay, Madea.
Yeah. Well, you do. I do. If I don't feel like it's going to work, I'm like,
This is so true.
I'm like,
This is so true. Someone called my office today talking about a girl who was an intuit. She's intuitive, so she asks you things, and you start a thought, and she finishes it, and then she tells you all about your life. And I'm just like, isn't that like anybody's auntie that just wants to talk a lot? I have an uncle like that. He says, and no, maybe he is. My uncle says that the spirit talks through him. He's a tarot reader. He says the spirit talks through him. But when you try to have a conversation with him, it really comes down to he doesn't let me say anything because he wants to talk the whole time. Like, I never get to say anything.
Wow.
So maybe it's just a person that just likes to talk a lot.
But when he talks to you, is he saying things that make sense to you or something like, or is it more general?
Well, he's all talking about future stuff.
Okay.
You know, so I'm just like, well, what happened to me? You know, so give me a little validation. Like, I could validate if you got something right in the past. You know, if you tell me a lot of great stuff is going to happen to me, of course I'm going to sit there and listen. I'm excited to hear that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And you know what? The other thing, too, this is a month for love. It's Valentine's Month. And mm-hmm. Did you send that gift off to your friend? Did you do it? Even I told you not to do it. Probably did, didn't you?
I'm feeling love and loved and happy and all of these great things with my friends, with my family.
I'm talking about the guy in London.
I thought you said we weren't going to bring that up.
No, but just did you send that? But you know, I had second thoughts about that. I think you should send it. I sent it already. Yeah. Because you know what? Love, if you find love and if you even think that you're close to finding love, I say go for it.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows? And actually, one of my friends over there has like a gifting business.
Okay.
So I just called her and I said, what should I do for this? And she says, oh, these great, you know, whatever they are. Uh-huh. And then I said, yeah, I want one of those. And I personalized it, had it engraved, and she had it sent over there.
Oh, wow. I like it.
Yeah, so it arrives tomorrow. That's pretty exciting. So you know what? Listen, I like to do nice things for people that make me feel good.
Me too.
Whoever they are, whatever capacity. I do have to do something for my mom for Valentine's Day. I hadn't figured that out yet.
Okay.
So I'll do something nice for her. I'll take her some nice roses, and we'll do something special. I'll take her on a little date.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But I am traveling to, I want to take some equipment to record a show over in London. I'm going to do one of the morning shows, actually, over there on Channel 4, I think it is.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you all about that. But I'm going for about 9 or 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of a nice little vacation,
right? I might meet you over there for a day.
I think you should.
No, really?
Because I got a place, 2 bedrooms.
Really?
Yeah, I got an Airbnb.
Okay, I'm going to meet you over there.
Please. Yeah. That would be awesome. Okay, so the Paul Wharton Show is going to come to you from London.
I think I can budget that in my February. Is that March?
That's March.
I'll put that in my March budget. You know I have to budget myself. I don't know why no one seems to want to believe me.
Do we want to talk about
this? I need to really figure these things out.
Do we want to talk about your new project or no?
Which one?
The new project that you went over earlier today.
I'm getting a job.
No, I
don't want to talk about it because
I might.
They're going to put me on probation.
Wait a minute.
I'll see.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something. The worst thing in life is happening to me right now. Darnell thinks he's going to get a job working in somebody's office where he has to be there full face beating everything by 9 a.m. He has to not just be waking up. He doesn't even get allow you to call before 10:30 a.m.
No, 12, actually.
12.
No.
He is going to be, he calls himself being at somebody's job. But I just want to remind you
something. I need a job.
I just want to remind you of something.
What?
The London trip is 2 days. You start your new job 2 days after I leave for London. You're so used to planning stuff without having to show up at a job. He's talking about he's going to come and stay in my second bedroom in London. Sweetie, you have a job, so you don't have to be on a fixed income anymore.
I'm going to have to let them know I can't start until April 1st. I'm not going to miss my little London trip, and you already have the apartment. Are you crazy?
And it's a really good one, too.
Really?
It's the best.
Oh, I'm coming. Yeah. No, I really am coming. Yeah. Even if it's just for, like, I can come on a weekend.
I just did this for vacation purposes and to make it nice for myself. It's a really nice apartment.
But Vanessa, she's doing a show right there, right?
Yes, we're going to Vanessa's show. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is her show. Oh, no, that's that movie. What is the name? Oh, City of Angels is her show.
Okay.
City of Angels at the Garrick Theater. Previews, I think, start on March 6th. I think the big party for that is March 24th. But I'll already be coming back home.
Oh, really?
I probably should stay for that, right?
Well, I don't know.
For the big press party? You think it matters?
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So anyway, I'll go to the previews and hang out that week and just have a good time.
I like it.
Yeah, and I got a great apartment, and it's going to be fun. I'll do some local TV there, and I'll see a few of my friends. My friend Sherry's there, and I have another friend. Named Jules, she's there, and
wow, that's going to be I'm coming. Count me in.
That sounds so exciting
for a day.
So, can we wager how many of you feel that Darnell? How long is Darnell going to be able to last on his new job? Alexia, do you have any input on this?
I don't want to be negative.
No, please don't be negative.
No, it's not negative.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I just really need I don't know how long I'm going to keep this job. I really got to pay some bills. And it's just like the money that is coming in. It's not affording me to pay all of my bills. I mean, you got to buy champagne. You have to, it's just a lot.
Pretty much it's the champagne. It's the problem. God.
Well, no, it's the entertaining all of my people. And, but the thing is, they always bring champagne. So it's not that.
Where are you going to get the energy to be doing this?
I'm in my 40s, darling. I have energy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not old.
No, you're really not. Yeah, but I just didn't know that you had the energy to get up that early and go to a job.
I wonder what time would I need to really get up in order to be there by 9.
Are you doing the face and spur No.
You see me during the week, darling. That's another thing I need to ask them. Is there a dress code? Do I have to be dressed up every day?
Oh, my God.
I don't want a job that I need to dress up every day.
I'm horrified by this.
Oh, please. You're fine.
I don't know what to say about
Everybody does not have money like you, Paul.
I'm hiring a new co-host for any of you out there. Open auditions to the Paul Wharton Show with Darnell Perkins, or maybe your name. Fridays at 6, Saturdays at 5, Wednesdays at 6. On SiriusXM Channel 141 and a podcast. So check us out.
Yes. Love yourself, guys. Darling. Love
yourself.
See y'all
next week. I'm just so thrown off. Don't go.
I don't know. We'll see.
Bye, guys.
Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together.